our state missions we went over to go. There we go. All right. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Genesis chapter 41. I have made a promise to myself that I'm not going to rush, and if I only get one point of my sermon in, that I'm going to be good with it, because there's so much in this book of Genesis about Joseph, and he's, you know, the title of this series, he's not your average Joe. He's above average. He's a guy that experienced a lot of bad in his life. He's a guy that was forgotten, and he experienced a lot of betrayal, and yet the thing that he never cheated on was God. He continued to be faithful his entire life. Whether it was good times or whether it was bad times, he was faithful to God, and God blessed him. So you might be here this morning feeling like God's kind of forgotten about you. You may be here this morning, and maybe you have been done wrong by family. Maybe you've been done wrong by a spouse. Maybe you've been done wrong by work. I don't know who did you wrong. But if you've been there, and every one of us have been disappointed, if you've been there, the good news is God is there. And don't measure your life by what you're going through right now if it's negative, okay? And so in Genesis 41, we have this long narrative, this story about Joseph. And so I want to begin by reading, and I'm going to read the whole chapter, and I want you to follow along, and I'm going to comment. It's a story, so you need to let it come alive to you in your own life. It says, 2 full years later, Pharaoh dreamed that he was standing on the bank of the Nile. In his dream, he saw... Now, let me just say this. If you were raised in church and you were raised in Sunday school, it probably takes you back to the children's department. I can remember as a kid with a flannel board and the fat cows and the skinny cows. Every time I read this story as an adult, I go back to when I was a kid. And let me just say this. If you're a parent, you need to have your kid in Sunday school. Every time I read the story, I go back. Because that's where I learned about Pharaoh and Joseph. And I just had to throw that in because I go back and I can still picture him on the flannel board. It says he dreamed that he was standing on the bank of the Nile River. In his dream, he saw 7 fat, healthy cows come up out of the river and begin grazing in the marsh grass. Then he saw 7 more cows come up behind from them, from the Nile, but they were scrawny and thin. These cows stood beside the fat cows on the riverbank. Then the scrawny, thin cows ate the healthy fat cows. At this point in the dream, Pharaoh woke up. Now remember, Pharaoh is the most powerful man in the world. And he's having this dream. And this dream, the first one wasn't too bad. But then it says, but then he fell asleep again and he had a second dream. And it's interesting that I believe there's a reason for 2 dreams. Because in the scripture, you confirm something to be from God by 2 witnesses or 2 dreams. And so I think this is showing that this is serious. This isn't just a dream that you have when you eat tacos or a lot of spicy food. That this is serious. This is from God because he has this second dream. And it says, but he fell asleep again and had a second dream. This time he saw 7 heads of grain, plump and beautiful, growing on a single stalk. Then 7 more heads of grain appeared, but these were shriveled and withered by the east wind, and these thin heads swallowed up the 7 plump, well-formed heads. Then Pharaoh woke up again and realized it was a dream. So 2 dreams, fat cows, skinny cows, fat kernels, small kernels, okay? And then it says in verse 8, the next morning Pharaoh was very disturbed by the dreams. And you got to understand in that part, during the world at that time and even today, when people had dreams during that time, they would go to the local wizard, the local magician, and they would want an interpretation. They would pay money. There were businesses developed around this dream interpretation because they were very superstitious and they felt like that God spoke through dreams. And it says the next morning Pharaoh was very disturbed by the dream. So he called for all the magicians and wise men of Egypt. When Pharaoh told them the dreams, not one of them could tell him what they meant. I think, personally, they were scared if they got it wrong, they would lose their lives. Personally, that's just my opinion. So finally, the king's chief cupbearer spoke up. A cupbearer had the responsibility of tasting the food and drink before the Pharaoh ate it. And if it was poisoned, he would be the one who would die, not the Pharaoh. And so he tasted everything, and we are told here that the chief cupbearer spoke up, and he said this, and we'll go back and get the whole story. Today, I have been reminded of my failure, he told Pharaoh. Some time ago, you were angry with the chief baker and me, and you imprisoned us in the palace of the captain guard. One night, the chief baker and I each had a dream, and each dream had its own meaning. There was a young Hebrew man with us in the prison who was a slave of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he told us what our dreams meant. And everything happened just as he predicted. I was restored to my position as a cupbearer, and the chief baker was executed and impaled on a pole. Not a good way to go. But that it was early in Joseph's life. The story was told that they had both had these dreams. They were in prison. Joseph was in prison. And Joseph interpreted the dream of these two guys. They were terrified because they had no one. They're in prison. They had no one to tell them what the dreams meant. And so Joseph, while he was in prison, developed a dream interpretation ministry. The cupbearer said, oh yeah, there's this guy, this guy who interpreted our dreams. And he said, you know, remember Pharaoh, that time you put us in prison? You probably thought we were poisoning the food or planning to do that. And then you decided I was innocent. And then you decided the baker was not innocent and you executed him, and here I am today. There was this guy named Joseph who interpreted our dreams, and he had asked me not to forget about him, but I did. And so it says in verse 14, Pharaoh sent for Joseph at once, and he was quickly brought from the prison. Now, let's get perspective on this. When he was 17, when Joseph was 17, his brothers sold him into slavery. They went back and they told his dad, Jacob, that an animal had killed him. But at 17, this young man became a slave. And his name was Joseph. And remember the story? He went to Egypt. Now think about this. He walked to Egypt. Think about how hot it would have been. Think about how the food would have been very little. Think about the difficulty of a journey going back to Egypt. Because your brothers did you wrong. They betrayed you. They sold you and made money off you because they hated you. You were the favored 17-year-old son who told them that they would someday worship you, and they sold you, and you went to prison. Think about that. And he was in prison for 11 years. For 11 years from the time he was 17, not prison, excuse me. He was a slave for Potiphar from the time he was 17 till he was 28. He was a slave. That meant he had no rights. That meant he did whatever he was told. That meant that he could be executed at any time. He owned nothing. He was owned. From the time he was 17, he lived in a foreign country. He was owned by Potiphar, and his family had nothing to do with him. 17 until he's 28. You think your job is bad? You think your life is bad? You think you've been done wrong? His own flesh and blood sold him. So for 11 years, he's in prison. And while he was in prison, God elevated him. He became the, slave. While he was in Potiphar's house, he was the top slave. Still a slave, but he was the top slave. And things are looking pretty good. Things are looking pretty good until Potiphar's wife accuses him of rape. And she had his cloak because he ran for his life because he did not want to offend God and sleep with her. And she had been for probably years trying to get him to be sexual with her. And he finally ran one time and she had his cloak and she starts screaming, "This Hebrew guy, he tried to rape me." And when her husband, Potiphar, came home, the scripture says he was very ticked. He was very angry. And what he did, which is really kind of, think about this, he could have killed him immediately because he was an official. But he put him in prison. Maybe he didn't trust his wife. I don't know. But he could have killed him, but he didn't. And he put him in prison. And he put him in prison, which is not a good thing. Think about what it smelt like. Think about how hot it would have been in Egypt in a prison. Probably a dungeon. Think about how bad his life is. He's gone from being a slave to being a slave in prison. He has not talked to his family in years. Think about how lonely he was. Think about how betrayed he was. Now, here's the thing that gets me about Christians. People hurt our feelings. I've been in the ministry a long time. I love my church. I've always loved all my churches. But I've learned one thing. There's not everybody always loves you back. And I've seen people, "Well, somebody hurt my feelings, I quit church." Get over it. There's always going to be somebody hurt your feelings. There's always going to be someone not be nice to you in the church, out of the church. It's just life, right? So Joseph is in prison now. 11 years he's a slave. 2 years he's in a prison. It's nasty. It's disease-ridden. It's awful. He has no friends. He has no family. He lives every single day wondering if he will ever see his father again. He doesn't care if he really sees his brothers or not, probably. But he's in prison. And when he's in prison, he meets these two guys in the story. The baker, the chief baker, and the chief cupbearer. And while they're in prison, they have these dreams. And they're terrified because no one can interpret their dreams. Why? They're in prison. You don't get the local dream interpreter to come to prison. You're in prison. And so what happens in this story is that he interprets their dream. And he said, "Hey, you're going to live, you're going to die." And sure enough, the chief cupbearer got to live. The chief baker was impaled. And so the last thing he said to the chief cupbearer before he left prison is, "Don't forget me. Please don't forget me." And the first thing that guy did when he left prison was forget him. for 2 years. So 11 years, he's a slave. And for 2 full years, he's in prison, forgotten. I think he has a reason to be discouraged. I think he has a reason. He's been betrayed by family. He's been falsely accused and convicted. He is having all kinds of difficulties in life. But the one thing he never does, he doesn't cheat God. He's faithful. He's a faithful servant. He's a faithful prisoner. You read. Now, people, we need to get this. I would say, my own opinion, the weakness of the church is we're not very faithful. We're just not very faithful. It doesn't take much to get you off the faithful bus, right? And yet when we look at the life of Joseph, he's a guy who was dependable. He was dependable when life was going good. He was dependable when life was going bad. But the one thing about Joseph we know is that he was dependable. And so when Pharaoh has this dream, and the chief cupbearer goes, "Oh yeah, there's this guy in prison that helped me out. He can interpret your dream." And just imagine verse 14 of chapter 41. He's been a slave for 11 years. He's been in prison for 2 years. That's 13 years of his life that are wasted. Do you feel like your life has been wasted in your job or a relationship? And he's been there, and in verse 14 it says, Pharaoh sent for Joseph at once. Now just imagine being down in the dungeon. I don't know what you do every day in a dungeon, but you're in the dungeon. It stinks. Same bad food, same bad people, disease everywhere. And all of a sudden they come to you. You have no clue. And they say, it's time to go see Pharaoh. Okay, you've been a slave for 11 years, a prisoner for 2 years, and it's time to go see Pharaoh? Thanks. And what did it say? He got a bath, he was shaved, he was given new clothes. Just imagine to get a bath for the first time in years. Just imagine getting to wear some decent clothes. And so Pharaoh calls Joseph up because he's had this dream and he's terrified. And it says after he was shaved and after they, what they did, you got to know this about the Egyptians. Oh, there's so much here. I'm probably only going to get 1 point. Too much stuff. My wife tells me to slow down and just... But they bring him up. Egyptians disliked shepherds. They despised them. And yet the guy that's coming up to save the world is from a shepherd family. So what do? You try to make him look like he's not a shepherd. So you shave his head and you shave him like the Egyptians. Later on, he's going to give him an Egyptian name and an Egyptian wife. Because last thing he wants is this guy, second in command, looking like a Hebrew shepherd boy. And so we see here that he calls him up. And then he says in verse 15, then Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream last night and no one here can tell me what it means. But I heard that you... when you hear about a dream, you can interpret it. And I love the humility, but also I love the fact that he stepped up to the plate and he said, it is beyond my power to do this, Joseph replied, but God can tell you what it means and set you at ease. And in verse 17 it says, so Pharaoh told Joseph his dream in my dream, and he goes through the whole story about the cows and all that kind of good stuff. And he tells him about the grain. And Joseph, and I'm having to summarize some of it, and Joseph says, hey, here's what it means. We're going to have 7 good years, and we're going to have 7 bad years. I'm starting to wonder if we're in the bad years. If we don't get rain soon, there's going to be 7 good years, and there's going to be 7 bad years. And Pharaoh, if you were smart, you would store up a lot of grain and food during those 7 good years. And when the 7 bad years come, you will have food to be able to feed Egypt and the world. That was his interpretation. And guess what? Pharaoh bought it. And I love it because in the story, he not only bought it, he said, Pharaoh said to Joseph in verse 41, I hereby put you in charge of the entire land of Egypt. Now you got to get this perspective. 11 years he was a slave, had no rights. He was somebody else's property. He was forgotten by his brothers. His dad thought he was dead for 11 years. His life was miserable as a slave in a foreign country. And for 2 years, he's in the prison. And even while he was in the prison, he was a slave to the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. So for 13 years, his life is forgotten. His life is miserable. And yet during 13 years, he never quit being faithful to God. He kept serving God. He kept on keeping on. And God blessed the world through him. What is wrong with us? Why do we quit on God so easy? Because times get hard. When are we going to understand point number one, which is God is in control of your life? And when you go through difficult times, when you go through betrayal, when you go through financial difficulties, when you mess up and go to jail, when you go through hard times, regardless of what they are, you need to understand that God's still in control. And God wants to bring good up out of your bad. And the beautiful picture is that Joseph is all of a sudden coming to the top. And think about it. If he would not have been accused of rape, he wouldn't have been put into prison. If he wouldn't have been put into prison, he wouldn't have met the chief cupbearer and he wouldn't have met the chief baker who personally were involved with Pharaoh. Think about if he would have got out on early release. They wouldn't know where he was. But Joseph continued to be faithful. And during his life, and hear me, if your life is messed up and you feel like it's falling apart, when you feel like God has forgotten you, when you feel like people aren't responding, listen, as a pastor, they said, I want 200 here. I actually want 200 so I can figure out how many more to go above that. Because it's never enough when it comes to God. It's never enough. But we've got to understand that when we came here, 5 years ago, there were 40, I think, on the first Sunday morning. And I thought to myself, oh no, maybe we didn't pray enough. But we love the 40 that were here. And God is blessed. But it didn't happen overnight. We get irritated because we want to fill up the children and youth building. And someone said, what are we going to do? We're going to keep going after it. You don't quit when life gets hard. You don't quit when things get difficult. You keep on keeping on being faithful. And the overall thing that you need to remember is that when your life is a mess, God's still in control. And he has a plan for you. Learn from your mess. I remember, I tell this story all the time because I do premarital counseling, and we were in St. Louis, and and I required that you had to have premarital counseling. And this guy in our church came and said, hey, I want to get married. And I said, good, you need to have premarital counseling. And he looked at me and he said, well, I don't need premarital counseling. And of course, that just... And I said, why? And he said, well, I've been married 5 times. And I said, you're an idiot. No, I didn't say that. I thought that, but I didn't say it. And he did not get married to me by me because he did not want to do it. And I think to myself, why wouldn't you? You've screwed up 5 times on your own. It looks like you'd want to hear something. But my point is, when you go, listen, if you go through a divorce, nobody has to tell you how bad that is. Learn from it before you jump into another one. Two aren't better than one. Right?
Amen, brother.
And so God's still in control when you've made a mess of your life or you feel like God doesn't know where you're. Don't start thinking God has forgotten about you. You may be in prison. You may be in the dungeon. Life may be difficult, but please don't. Here's what I want to check. When you're going through good times, be faithful to God. When you're going through bad times, be faithful to God. Regardless of what happens to your life, be dependable. Serve God, serve others. That's just be dependable. And so point number one, and I'm only going to get one point in today, and I've had to leave out even a lot at this, but point number one is don't ever forget God is in control of your life. Now, flip over to chapter 50 real quick, and I close with this. Here's Jacob, 17. He was betrayed by his own family, spent 11 years as a slave, 2 years in prison, and then in chapter 41, he interprets the dream, maybe we'll get to it next week, but he got a special chariot. He was second in command. As a matter of fact, the special chariot, whenever he would pull up, someone would stand up and say, please kneel. Now, this is the slave prisoner boy that he would pull up and someone would go out and say, please kneel. Can you imagine how he must have felt like, wow, this is weird. But that's the way it was. And then he interprets the dream. He's second in command. If you've ever been done wrong, which we all have, if you've ever been hurt, it's important to remember verse 20 of chapter 50. He says, well, go to verse 19. His brothers are scared because daddy died. And he says in verse 19, but Joseph replied, don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? Then look at verse 50. If you've been done wrong, if you've been betrayed, if you've been fired unjustly or justly, look at what God can do with your mess. He says, you intended to harm me. He didn't give the brothers a break. You intended to harm me. That person who harmed you probably intended to harm you. Okay, don't give a break on that. But look what it says. But. That's always the most important word a lot of times in Scripture. But. You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. You see, it's the Romans 8:28 of the Old Testament. God takes the bad that happens to you and brings good out of it if you open your eyes and look for it. He says, but God intended it all for good. And then look what he said. He brought me to this position. God brought me here so I could save the lives of many people. You see, this is a rags to riches story, but it didn't happen overnight. It only happened because Joseph was faithful. And God was able to use his faithfulness to not only save Egypt, but to save the entire world at that time. So this morning you may be feeling betrayed, you may be feeling forgotten. Here's what I'd say if you're a believer, just keep being faithful. Just keep being faithful. Open your eyes, keep being faithful. And remember, God is in control of your life. You may not understand why this happened, but God will use it for His glory if you will allow Him to. I believe that's the first time I've only preached one point of a five-point sermon. And I still skipped a bunch of junk. But I want you to understand, God kind of convicted me this week. This stuff is good. We've got to step up and quit being wimps. We've got to be faithful. And we need to quit complaining about what happened 20 years ago, 10 years yesterday. And we need to step and say, hey, you're good and faithful. You're a good God. We sang about it. What are you going to do good from this situation? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for everybody in this room. I thank you that you're a good, good God. Lord, I thank you brought me to Mount Ida. I guess in the last 5 years, I've had more fun than I've had in a long time being a pastor. Because I begin to see you kind of do things I never really dreamed were possible. Just getting rid of the pews, Lord, was a big deal. Father, I pray for everybody. I know there's some people here this morning that feel forgotten. They feel betrayed. They feel hurt. Maybe by the church. Maybe by the family. Maybe by, I don't know. Lord, just help them to be faithful. Help them to remember that you're in control. And Father, help them to start looking for what you want to bring out of the bad. Father, I thank you that Joseph was not your average Joe. And that he teaches us how to not be the average Joe. Father, I pray if there's anybody in this room that doesn't know you, that doesn't know your son Jesus Christ, because it really isn't about a Baptist or Methodist or any of that stuff. It's about a personal relationship with your son Jesus Christ. That if anybody doesn't know that, that they would talk to me after church or any time this week. Because, Lord, you're always faithful. And when we have a relationship with you based on faith, you always are faithful, even when we're not faithful. So, Father, I again thank you for Joseph. I thank you for this morning. I thank you that you're in control. Lord, you're in control right now as we have no clue what's going to happen in Ukraine or China or Russia. Listen, politics won't save the world. Jesus is the only way. You're in control. You change nations. You're in control of all those dictators. Just help us to be faithful. And so I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.